What's up, you guys? You already? It's your girl, Cocaine Kisses. I'm in the building. You in the building? So we here, and yeah. Let's just get straight to it, shall we? We shall.
Eight. Ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. 1-0. We have commit and we have liftoff at 2:13. The Saturn V building up to 7.6 million pounds
of thrust, and it is. You're jamming with the hottest disc jockey. Disc jockey.
Whatever.
You. It is July 13th, 2021. As if you didn't already know that. I don't even know why. Like I need to say that today is July 13th. I don't know. Maybe something memorable is going to happen today. Yeah. But we're all blessed, right? Because we're up. Hope you're in the best of health and sound mind, spirit. and heart. Yeah. So I'm kind of mellow today. I'm not like super hype. You guys know I go through like the wave of emotions. Sometimes I be like extra hype. Sometimes I be pissed the fuck off. And sometimes I just be chilly mo status. This is one of those chilly mo statuses today. I think it might have something to do with the weather. Very possible. I'm just chilling. Yeah. Rolling up. So yeah, that's regular degular shit though, you know? But I'm chilly mo. First and foremost, you guys, thank you for being here with me. Give yourselves a round of applause. I don't think you guys really understand just how much I appreciate you. And you guys listening in and, you know, reaching out to me, however you guys reach out to me. It's extremely appreciated. You just don't even know. Like, there's a lot of people that do podcasts. A lot of people do it for the wrong reasons. When I say the wrong reasons, I mean, like, some people do this or they have podcasts not necessarily because they're passionate about what they're doing or what they're talking about. Some people just get this platform. Oh, sorry about that, you guys. I had to sneeze. I was saying some people get this platform just because other people have a similar platform or a podcast, or they're in some weird warped out competition that the other party is not even aware there exists a fucking competition. But you never really know what's behind the motive of why people do what they do. So I say that to say I love what I do. I love talking to you guys. I love fucking with you guys. Like, if it was one person or 1,000 people who listened to me, it would be the same reaction. I'm appreciative. You know what I mean? Like, I don't do what I do for some type of, you know, superficialities of gaining, you know, or becoming rich, right? I'm already wealthy, and resources that can't be bought, right? So it all depends on what wealth is to you, right? You know, I could always benefit from some more dollars, definitely, but that's not the driving force behind anything that I do. What's the driving force that gets Ko to accomplish her goals is passion and love. I never do anything with the thoughts of money. Teachers own. For those who do, you know what I'm saying? That's their journey, that's their path. They'll soon realize why that should not be the primary focus in their life, but you know, that's when they realize that. For me, I understand quite well God provides exactly what I need. You know what I'm saying? If I need more, He'll give more. If not, then we good. Either way. So yeah, guys, a lot has been going on in the world recently. I'm actually focusing this segment on things that are affecting us worldwide in other parts of the world. As you guys all know, I got about 44 international countries that do listen in. Shout out to you motherfuckers in the building. I really appreciate y'all. I don't even think you know. You think you know, but you don't know. Shout out to y'all. Blessed and grateful for your presence. So, considering so much shit is going on in the world affecting a lot of international countries, I felt like let me touch on some of these things, right? You know, if you don't know, there's been like so much confusion going on. So much anger, a lot of protesting in other parts of the world. Cuba is currently going through their fair share of craziness. Best way I can say it, it's first word to pop in my head, craziness. with a revolution that's seeming to take place over there. So it's looking like orders have been given to some soldiers over in Cuba to attack unarmed protesters. And sadly, it's been mentioned that if these officers don't comply, that, you know, when it comes to them trying to enroll in school, they probably won't be able to do so. So I'm going to really break down to you. Shout out to Cuba. It's just really disheartening what's going on in this world, especially when I know that there's so much more beautiful things that could be governing us other than violence, hatred, greed, and power. The primary source should be love, but you know, nobody wants to really talk about that because that's too corny, right? I don't think y'all really know just how powerful love really is. And the reason y'all don't believe it is because all y'all see is fake love out here. So it's like, if that's what love is, then I'm good. And not for nothing, I ain't even mad at you. But that isn't what love is. Love yourself first, and then you'll understand. When you see real love, if it's really love, or when you see fake love, that is just that, fake love. No matter how much it's dressed up as. But moving forward and focusing more on the crisis that's occurring in Cuba after the protest. So, you know, Cuba's right there next to Florida. Close to Florida, I should say. The Republican Senator Marco Rubio the other day warned, I think this was yesterday, could have been yesterday or the day before, but he definitely warned people that Cuban officials is going to likely encourage some kind of mass migration over here to the United States. And this is a direct response to what's been going on with the street protests throughout Cuba. And the reason, well, I mean, you know, there's probably several reasons for this, you know, outcry, but I think one of the main ones, or maybe one of the main reasons there's been, you know, protesting is because a lot of Cubans want an end to dictatorship, right? It's like, they don't want to deal with it no more. Now, Senator Rubio, right? He's a Cuban-American, right? And he has been engaging in conversations with Cuban leader Miguel Díaz-Canel, which, interestingly, Miguel is encouraging some form of an exodus, more than likely by boat. Yeah, with Cubans going over, coming over, I should say, here to the United States. So basically what Miguel said is that if the United States backs these political protesters, right, like if they give support to what's going on with the protest and the people protesting, the Cuban government will definitely encourage and enforce that exodus. Crazy, right? So it would appear that the Cuban regime feels that they're going to have to, you know, threaten the use of rafters or, you know, Mariel-style crises, looking to be very inevitable. If the United States basically doesn't stop encouraging these protests, and they want the United States to return to the Obama policy. So this was actually tweeted by Rubio, and he's warned, or you know, advised. Let me say that he's advised that quote, we must not cave to blackmail, and emphasis on related towards President Joe Biden, must warn them that encouraging mass migration will be considered a hostile action. So what that sounds like to me is that what's being said is that if the Cuban regime continues, or rather, if we, yeah, let me start there, not even the Cuban regime, if we, the United States, doesn't stop encouraging what's going on over there in Cuba, basically you're saying, without saying, mind your own fucking business, right? If we don't stop putting our nose in their shit, there will be some form of mass migration. And encouraging that comes with consequences of some form of a hostile action. This is what is being believed. So, this is crazy. Now, there's probably mixed opinions on whether or not that's accurate, but you know, history does suggest that the statement could actually come true, just so you know. So I don't know if you guys remember, some of you should, many probably won't, because they were, you know, probably are young children, adolescents, teenagers. I know I was about 12 when this happened, so this is 94. So the last time Cuba had, or saw rather, an anti-regime protest of this sort, of this magnitude, it was when they were under the Fidel Castro dictatorship. And at that time, they opened the borders, and around 35,000 men, women, and children tried to leave the country. And peep it, they were leaving on like what they referred to it as makeshift rafts. So these were very secured or safe forms of transportation. Some had boats, but these boats were not intended, you know, intended for that type of voyage. Some made it to South Florida, you know, others died at sea, unfortunately. A good amount was, I was going to say captured, but that sounds so fucked up. So, yeah, but I kid you not, that's the word that came in my mind to describe it. But the majority were, if you feel they were rescued, then they were rescued by the United States Coast Guard, right? And then they were ferried off to the United States Navy base at Guantanamo Bay. So I know all you guys know about Guantanamo Bay. Now, most of the Cubans, the refugees, that is, were allowed to actually come to the United States, and Castro at that time and Bill Clinton, who was the president in 94, they agreed to what is called a wet foot, dry foot policy. In addition to also agreeing to allow 20,000 visas issued per year for Cubans. I was about to say Colombians. Shout out to the Colombians. So that policy, wet foot, dry foot, and I'm not going to get, you know, in depth about what that is. If you're curious about what the fuck the wet foot, dry foot policy is, you're welcome to look into that more. I'll tell you this much, though. Basically, what that is a policy that was given to a prior interpretation of the 1995 revision of the application of the Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966 that essentially just says that anyone who immigrated from Cuba and entered the United States would be allowed to pursue residency a year later. So, with that being said, that policy was ended by President Barack during his last week in office, right? So, due to all types of, how would I say, due to all types of, you know, outside influences, other things that were not foreseen, like the pandemic, you know, in addition to other reasons that Co doesn't know all of, but I'm pretty sure that somebody, if asked, can give you, if they're questioned about all of this shit, somebody in authority, there currently is a backlog for visas at the United States Embassy in Havana. And that still remains suspended. So, yeah. Reasons for that have a lot to do with some mysterious sonic attacks on the embassy's personnel. So, United States government had to remove most of them. And that was back in 2017. This is not the first time, though, the Cubans have formed an exodus, right? You have the one in 1994, and then you have the largest one back in 1980. So, and that was about 125,000 Cubans who left after Fidel allowed anyone to leave who desired to do such. Now, President Biden did issue a statement on Monday supporting the protesters, but he actually didn't directly address any possibilities of mass migration. So, which sounds political, right? Like, that sounds like a politician. Like, you know, let me cater to the emotions of the people, but I don't really want to concretely suggest any forms of action on our part. You know what I mean? Like, we're it's almost like, mum's the word. We recognize what's going on. We recognize what's going on over there. We don't agree, and we support people in Cuba. We support Cubans for the protests that they are implementing. But it's like, we're not going to, at this time, it appears that they're not going to give any remarks about whether or not the United States military or the United States government is going to be getting involved physically with what's going on over in Cuba. Sadly, according to Rubio, it's alleged that the military officials are over in Cuba are threatening the junior soldiers. So what they're threatening them with has to do with their school. Like, They're threatening them based on whether or not they carry out specific orders to attack protesters. Now, it doesn't matter if the protesters are wrong or not. These protesters could be, you know, how you say, nonviolent, right? They don't give a fuck. They've been told, or given an order, I should say, that if we say fuck shit up, this is pretty much, you know me, I'm keep it all the way a buck. This is what they're saying. If we tell you to get shit crump, then that's what you need to be doing. We don't want to hear anything other than compliance. You're so Rubio said these soldiers were threatened with the prospects of not gaining admittance to college. So they're using the fear of these young soldiers not being accepted into school to enforce that they attack people, protesters, whether they're armed or not. Scary, right? But you know, it's interesting that, you know, in my opinion, the United States, whether it was Biden or anybody else, would be quick to issue any kind of support or not when, you know, we're going through maybe not the exact same thing over there, but were we not going through protests? Still protesting over here, and we're quick to make comments on what's going on in somebody else's backyard, and we ain't even cleaned our shit. Typical of the United States. This ain't nothing new. Always in other people's business. Sometimes we're in people's business, and initially it's to help, but is it really? The more you start digging into shit, you realize, man, who is this really helping? The people or the niggas who claim it's helping the people? Like, I don't know. You tell me. But these young soldiers in the military are being told that they will be denied admission to a university after they've completed their mandatory military service if they do not follow orders to attack an armed protesters. So that came from Rubio. He is who tweeted this the other day. This shit is funky, man. Crazy. Nah, it really is. And it's been like hundreds of demonstrators and protesters out in the streets in several parts of Cuba. And with their protests, it has a lot to do with just unfair, you know, treatment, food shortages, the high prices of food, high prices of things in general. And I think it's so disturbing when, you know, basic necessities, motherfuckers gotta get to the point of fucking shit up just to be like, yo, what's up? I need this. What's going on? Like, nobody's listening. Nobody cares, right? Until a motherfucker act crazy, then we getting everybody's attention. Or when you form, you know, protesters, or you form, you know, demonstrators who are not going to be silenced, and they feel they have a right to be mad or frustrated, I should say, not even so much as mad, but just frustrated with what's going on where they live. This is when you start getting the attention. You know, I often say, because I've been, that's happened to me a lot in my life, where, you know, when I was quiet or I was doing things, quote, by protocol, I wasn't getting no fucking where, right? It's like, sit up. It's like, sit down. Excuse me. Sit down. Take this shit. Eat it. And don't complain. You may or may not do that, depending on who you are. But to those who do it to try to keep the peace, that shit ain't gonna last for so long. Integrity is everything, folks. And if it isn't to you, I don't know what to tell you. Integrity is everything to me. I stand on my own because I'm not really alone. But, you know, in the 3D, if it's anything to do with integrity and morals and it relates to me, I will stand on truth and principle. I don't give a fuck who's standing next to me because I know, you know, the God that I serve is forever truth. Truth first. And I don't need a bunch of other motherfuckers to, you know, stand with me. It'd be nice if they had the courage to do so, but not everybody does, right? Not everybody wants that smoke. I mean, I surely don't want the smoke, but nigga, if it's got to get to that extent for me to, you know, be comfortable or voice my concerns about things that affect me and my community, then it is what it is, nigga. We're going to have to go to war. But, yeah, militant bitch. But, it's really sad that that kind of order would even be given out. You know, like, I don't see where exactly that's helping the problem. Do you? Sad, man. It really is. Unfortunately, I feel like, and this is just my opinion, you guys, what's going on over there in Cuba is no different than what goes on over here. Home, right? You know, where people of authority don't like the fact that you're vocal about injustices directed towards you and your community and your family. And they want you to shut the fuck up and play nice and stop making all this noise, right? I personally feel like it's the same shit over here. This is why I don't understand how we're so quick. I guess, you know, we feel obligated to respond as a nation. But it's hard to tell somebody else what to do with their backyard when your shit is more filthier than theirs. And they probably watched your ass do what you do and get away with it to some extent, which is what makes other people feel like they too can do the same shit. And who the fuck are you to even, you know, frown at what they're doing or make or pass judgment or give any response whatsoever? Well, nigga, ain't you doing the same shit? Like, not saying two wrongs make a right, never, but niggas that live in glass homes shouldn't throw stones either. That's just my opinion. So, the government over in Cuba has really enforced the efforts to, according to Ted Cruz, snuff out the protests. Havana deployed security forces all across the island. It's been already dozens arrested. Many protesters were seen getting beaten up by police officials, or security forces, I should say. And I think the concern was that, you know, don't we as Cubans have the right to peaceful protest? Now, they do. I don't know how that's working out for them. We see what we see, right? But that's how it normally works out for anybody who's going against authority of some sort, right? They're not complying. They're not conforming. You're going to be met with opposition. We see that in any country that doesn't take it up the ass anymore and they're not just settling for breadcrumbs. These protests were about the rising COVID cases that were that exist over in Cuba, the deaths, as well as medicine shortages. So people have been asking for donations to help in the neighboring countries, to help Cuban Americans with. I mean, Cubans over in Cuba with what they're experiencing currently. And the protests are continuing to grow, people. So, I guess as things progress, we'll learn more. But as of right now, it is being stated that the United States is, according to Biden, again, standing with the Cuban people, recognizing their call for freedom and relief from the grip of the pandemic and decades of oppression and economic suffering. So, you know, it's always great to acknowledge, but then what do we do after we make acknowledgement? Because, you know, and I only say that not to take away from this topic, of course, but you know, it's like when it comes to racial discrimination or injustices of any sort, we often make, especially with Black people, don't get me started, we often make apologetic statements, but there seems to be no ramifications in place to rectify what the fuck you just apologized for. Like, to me, that's an empty apology. Like, you're going to take notice that what's going on is wrong and it shouldn't occur, but it's still occurring and nobody's doing anything to change it. That's like, you might as well not say shit to me. Like, that's how I feel. Like, don't sit here, that's pacifying me. Don't pacify the situation. Don't sit here and acknowledge that there's a wrong being committed and, you know, not correct the wrong. Like, where the fuck we do that at? What's the point in that? Like, but there is a point to everything, right? We know it's to us sometimes what that point may be, but it is what it is. So, Cuba, I hope and pray that all goes well. I stand in solidarity with you. And yeah, this is just quite unfortunate. So I'll definitely be keeping abreast on what is going on with that situation, because I'm sure there will be more news to come. Now, moving forward, you guys, if you didn't know, I'm quite certain all of you guys that are listening to the sound of my voice should know what happened over in Haiti. So I'm actually going to apologize ahead of time for probably saying his name incorrectly. I don't mean any disrespect, but you know, I'm not sure the correct pronunciation, so I'm going to say what I think his name is. But yeah, don't be upset at me or be offended. So on July 7th, unfortunately, President Moïse from Haiti was assassinated, in which this occurred at his home. His wife, unfortunately, was shot as well. Thankfully, is alive, still in critical condition. But this took place outside Port-au-Prince. So there were 17 people that were arrested in the involvement of this assassination. Two of the men were from the United States, and a statement came out from the United States that those two men in particular were not involved with the killing, that they were there as translators only. But there's a lot of skepticism and just confusion as to the involvement of these two United States individuals, things that occurred prior to the assassination, and how it was so easy to commit this assassination. Like, and it's definitely crossed my mind, like, where and how was this able to happen so smoothly, right? But we've seen assassinations before in history, and we all know how that goes. Most times assassinations are conducted from within the camp. So it's always an inside person, right? That's how you breach anything, is from within, right? So some of the other individuals involved in this assassination came from Colombia, and there were also, I believe it was two Haitians that were participants involved in this assassination as well. This is sad. Oh, correction. I need to come make a correction. So it wasn't the United States who recognized the two gentlemen from the United States that's involved in this assassination. It wasn't the United States who made that determination, and actually came from a Haitian judge who indicated that the two United States gentlemen at the time that was apprehended, they alleged that they were translators. So I just need to make that clear. You know how I am about information being, you know, misconstrued. So it wasn't that United States made this statement. It was actually that these two citizens of the United States that were involved in this assassination are alleging, according to the Haitian judge presiding over that case, over the case of those individuals arrested, they were saying that they were translators. However, there has been a third person implicated in the United in the assassination, excuse me, from the United States as well. There's a Florida doctor named Christian Emmanuel Sennon. Yeah, he's been arrested as well now. So, according to, I believe it's the New York Times. It is. According to the New York Times, this is what they have come up with as far as what, and you know, in layman's terms, is really going on. So this is what you need to know according to the New York Times, right? They want you to know that, or they feel you need to know, that a United States delegation briefed Biden after meeting with Haitian leaders. Then Haiti's police claimed that the Florida-based doctor was the one who recruited the mercenaries. And also keep in mind, guys, there was 19 people from Colombia. So it was 19 Colombians that were also recruited to carry out this assassination. Again, 17 were arrested. Two being from the United States, but there are 8 that are currently missing, or I guess off the grid, if you will, that was involved in this assassination. Keep in mind, there's concerns about a power struggle evolving out of this unfortunate tragedy. And it's still, you know, a grave mystery as to what exactly transpired that this tragedy occurred. I was watching the news and a reporter had interviewed the prime minister, the acting prime minister, and one of the questions he asked him was, did he think it was an inside job? And to summarize his thoughts, pretty much, yeah, he said, how else could foreign mercenaries be able to gain the kind of access that they had to even carry out what they did? So, you know, and I said that earlier, you guys, you know, in situations like this, in situations similar to this, it's normally somebody in the inside that allows the breach to take place. We all know, if you didn't, we know Biden really is not trying to intervene too much on the situation. He has made a comment or response to what has occurred over in Haiti. But there, I guess, in his situation, there's a lot going on in many areas in the world. So he's being very particular on what he says and how he says it. Or at least he's being advised to, I would hope. You do have the leader of Haiti's Senate that is among those vying for power. And Haitians are seeking exodus at the U.S. Embassy after the assassination of the president. So a U.S. delegation does brief Biden after they met with the Haitian leaders on what has transpired. What's, as much as they know, they've let him know, pretty much. And, you know, it seems like, according to the White House spokeswoman, Jean Psaki, there's a lack of clarity, obviously, about the future of the political leadership over in Haiti, which I presume is something that presently, right now, they're looking to solve, or they're looking to find some sort of answers for. What are we going to do next type moment? Like, what now? So Haiti does have a presidency left vacant. And then you got 2 competing prime ministers and a parliament that is not functioning. There's a lot of violence going on right now in the country. A lot of gang activity. And we don't have to tell you just how much poverty is shaking the country. President Biden was quoted stating, "The people of Haiti deserves peace and security, and Haiti's political leaders need to come together for the good of the country." So, like I said, being very particular on what is being said and how it's being said, you know? Going forward, I do see their biggest concern being replacing the president, as well as the investigation that the prime minister spoke of in terms of what exactly took place in Haiti with this assassination, how it was able to be orchestrated. Because they did have on the news the 17 individuals that were arrested. They had the guns and weapons all lined in front of them, and passports and things of that sort. So, you know, this is fresh. This just literally took place last week. And so, you know, one can expect more developing information to come about. But this is what currently exists. My prayers go out to Haiti as well. It's just a lot of unanswered questions. And for me, just confusion. You know, it was even asked by one of the reporters I saw, where he's like, "How do you guys know you even got the right people?" You know what I mean? Because we've went through that, or we've witnessed that in history, where people are alleged to be responsible for certain things, assassinations being one. And you find out later down the line, the people that got implemented ain't even the real people who did the killing. So it's like, okay. We shall see, right? But again, prayers go out to Haiti. I'm, you know, so sorry for the loss of their president. It's definitely impacted the citizens there, and I pray for their healing and peace. For real. Cole sends you love. Now, if anybody's wondering what the delegation for the United States, when they went over to Haiti, what exactly did they do? What they did was they reviewed the infrastructure and the security with Haitian governmental officials. And then they also met with the Haitian National Police. And those are the people who are leading the investigation into the assassination. So that was according to Emily Horn. So she's the National Security Council spokeswoman. So it looks like that was their primary focus. It's no secret, after the assassination, has been pandemonium in the streets of Haiti. Many have actually went over to the United States Embassy with hopes to leave, because they just don't know what to expect going forward. So like I said, this is all, you know, the new news, okay? And things are developing as we speak. So when I know more, you'll know more, all right? So over in England, shout out to England. I'm a little disappointed in some of you guys, but, you know, can't judge everybody. I don't judge anybody at all, honestly. But it is disappointing what occurred over in England after them losing the Sunday's game against Italy. Shout out to Italy. And the reaction that players Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka received as a result of the loss. And of course, it got... I don't want to say of course, because it shouldn't be of course, right? So fucked up that that's... Look, of course. But, you know, upon their loss, there was a lot of disrespectful racial statements and abuse, just to call it what it is, operating online. And it was just disgusting. It really was. And this is just more and more proof that it doesn't matter where in the world, right? Because I think sometimes people try to disassociate racism from their country. Like, oh no, that's a United States problem. No, it's a worldwide problem, because black and brown people in all countries are facing an injustice or some form of disrespect. And it shouldn't, on no level, be tolerated or acceptable. It saddens me to see this constantly, no matter where in the world you go. If you're black or brown, you're going to come across some shit. And, you know, that's just the reality of it. Just a lot more unnecessary shit than someone else may experience that is not black or brown, not, you know, African American. Shout out to the celebrities who have been vocal and have stood in solidarity with the young players and vocalized their disappointment in the things that were said in straight disrespect towards these gentlemen, stemming from nothing but racism. Pretty fucking much. Like, you know, you can't dance around it. You could try, but this is nasty. Like, there's never an excuse for this form of fuckery, but what's up with y'all? You know, England, you didn't win. Okay, you know, win some, lose some type shit. You could be upset, those who were upset with the results of the game, but when it goes from that to, excuse me, what did you say? I'm saying criticizing it. So, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Prince William actually denounced the racist harassment that was received by the black players for England's national soccer team in the loss on Sunday. So, it's just disturbing. Like, you know, there's been high profile soccer organizations that are, you know, like, really demanding some form of consequences for the harassment that continuously occurs. Like, you know, whether it's within sports arenas or athletes, it's become like a fucking common code, right? You never really get rid of the common code, right? There's no cure for it. Is how racism is. It feels to me. The prejudice is nasty, but even if you can't change the mindset and opinions of folks, there does need to be some form of consequences for when people do these acts and they're deemed unjust, right? These are unjust acts. And, you know, it's because, you know, the players missed their penalty kicks. I understand how a person loving sports, and in many cases, people are absolutely crazy over football. And I'm talking soccer football, either football, right? But soccer, which they call football, right? You guys call football, soccer football. All right, moving forward. But you guys get very emotional over games, as we all do, right? When you really enjoy a sport. But it's never okay to take it to the extent of being disrespectful towards another person's race and culture because you're mad that they missed their penalty kicks, you know? It's not okay. It really isn't. And I'm not sure why, you know, people have to keep telling people that it's not a fucking K. Like, that's what for me gets weird. Like, why do we have to have why do we have to have these kind of public service announcements? Do we not know that these things are disgusting, wrong, insensitive? Now, Prince William does serve as president of England's Football Association. And he did write on Twitter that he was sickened by the racist abuse aimed at the three black players. And he indicates it must stop now and all those involved should be held accountable. And couldn't say that I don't agree with him. I completely agree with him. But held accountable how? You know, it's one thing to say something should be done and then not indicate what exactly it is that should be done. You know what I mean? It's almost like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, just to avoid any controversy, I will say that I recognize that this was wrong and that something should be done to rectify it, but I ain't gonna be the one to tell you what that something should be. That's what I got from that. Boris Johnson stated in a tweet, "This England team deserves to be lauded as heroes, not racially abused on social media. Those responsible for this appalling abuse should be ashamed of themselves." And I doubt that they are. But this is what I mean when it comes to the, what's the word I'm looking for? The freedom of social media. Like, we talk all this bullying shit. Remember, it was a period where we're all like, you know, anti-bullying and all this crap. But the most bullying occurs online. You don't believe me? Put in a meme or something. Like, look at people fucking social media accounts and the shit that's said on there. Like, you can have all of these guidelines to respect people and all that, but who's really overseeing truly that that happens? Because if there was some type of overseeing being done, these things wouldn't be able to be done. Same thing with racism anywhere. There's nobody's checking this shit. It gets mentioned that it happens, but who's really checking it, right? I'm with the people. Social media definitely needs to be, I don't want to say filtered, but there definitely needs to be some form of consequences for acts such as that and additional forms of disrespect. Shouldn't be, you know, it can't just be overlooked to where people have the right to just say the first nasty shit to come out their mouth directed towards someone else. That's not okay. It's never okay. But is it? Because then, you know, here in the United States, we'll say First Amendment reigns, which is jaded as fuck. The Football Association did, however, urge the British government to actually take a to take action on legislation to criminalize online harassment and called on social media companies to do more to remove abusive users. So I'm with that. Yes, I co-sign that. Prince Williams, if you are involved with that, because he is the president of, you know, the Football Association. So I'm definitely in favor of that. Pretty much what I just said. And I'm glad that it's being publicized that they are condemning all forms of discrimination and that they're strongly appalled by the forms of online racism that is constantly being projected via social media. It's not cool at all. You know, England is a country that does listen to me, and I fucking love you guys, but you know, like I know, those who do recognize what occurred, that shit was just distasteful. And y'all better than that, just like here in the United States, we should be better than what the fuck we doing and acting like towards black people. When the fuck does it end, right? London's Metropolitan Police did announce it will investigate the abuse. So, you know, that's promising, right? That's promising. I'm definitely going to stay abreast on what occurs with this. I am wondering, though, right? This is the catcher. Had it not been individuals with that type of publicity, would this be took in the same way? Would have had the same result. And that's what sometimes a lot of people are disturbed by. Like, it's not so much as the racism, because we're all aware this shit is happening, been happening, looks like it's going to continue to happen until we really do something about it. But it's always better results for some form of ramification when it happens to someone of notoriety or prestige or celebrity status. When it happens to regular Joe Smo, ain't nobody giving a fuck. Would have never been no thoughts of a criminal investigation. Nigga, what? He said, what about you? Okay, well, you know, it's words. And y'all know I'm spitting facts here. I think when things happen to people on a grander status quo is when you get the results to trickle down, hopefully, to the little people. Which is where it affects the most, the little people, right? I actually commend England's national team for the coach of England's national team, Gareth Southgate, for calling out the harassment as being what exactly it is, unforgivable. Like, he wanted to make it clear that that's not something that they stand for. And, you know, as a team, they're collectively healing together and they support one another. And they stand together in this outcry. Like, this is just this is just nasty. Crazy. And like I said, you know, people get so emotional over the game. Most times people got money on the game. Not an excuse, but I'm just giving you the real facts. And when shit don't go the way they wanted it to go, everybody's a whatever it is that they think they are at that time. And it's not okay to let your emotions supersede your intellect. Like, what the fuck? None of the players, as of what I know today, has publicly spoke out since the game about what has occurred. I can imagine how they feel in terms of their confidence, in terms of being valued and appreciated as players for the team, and just their countrymen, just, you know, I'm black, so I get it. And you don't have to be black just to get it. But when you black, you get it more. You get it quicker. It hits different. You dig? It hits different. So I look forward to seeing what the solution will be to prevent these kind of acts going forward. But it's no surprise that in England, you know, racism amongst players have existed for years. It's really due to social media that things come to light, you know, the way that it does. And we seem to think, oh my goodness, this is happening. No, this been happening. Niggas just wasn't able to record and get evidence and all this other shit. It was harder to prove that this shit was happening. Or niggas just, or if it wasn't harder to prove, niggas just really gave no fucks. And made it clear that, yeah, that happened. Okay, we heard you. So, yeah, when I find out more, you guys, about that, you know, I'll let you know. This segment was really for my people who really appreciate worldwide news. I know this is not going to capture everybody, but, you know, I'm very versatile. So you're not going to get one side of me. It's many blends to call. And this is one of them. I'm very involved in events and news on a worldly basis, right? Because it's bigger than my backyard, you heard? And ultimately, what goes on in other parts of the world will end up affecting the part of the world I reside on some level or another, right? All right, you guys. So with that being said, I hope you enjoy your Tuesday. You better enjoy your Tuesday, right? And I'm going to go ahead and finish doing what it was I was doing before I did this episode. So I love you guys. I hope you enjoy your day, and speak to you soon. Later, you guys.